Okay, Rabosai, today's daf is Shabbos daf Yud Tes. We are holding at the bottom of Yud Ches Amud Beis. We ended off about, not at the bottom two dots, but about like eight lines up at the previous two dots, Tanu Rabbanan. We learned that right, so again, we're going through some Hilchos Shabbos that pop up. We're starting with some Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel. So Tanu Rabbanan. Beis Shammai omrim lo yimkor adam cheftzo lenachri v'lo yishalenu v'lo yilonu v'lo yitan lo b'matana ela kedei sheyagia lebeiso. A person should not sell something to a goy erev Shabbos. You shouldn't lend it to him, and you shouldn't loan it to him. The difference between lending and loaning, yishalenu and yilonu, is I think yishal one of them. I forget which is which. I'll look quickly, but don't see it in Rashi. Yeah, no, it is in Rashi, sorry. Lo yishalenu, if you look at Rashi, she'ila davar ha-chozer be'ein ha-lovet, b'davar she'nitan lo-tsa. Meaning, by yishalenu, you get the actual item back, and by yilavenu, he will pay you back, but not with the actual item, meaning it's going to be consumed. For example, yishalenu, you're lending him your watch, and yilonu, you're lending him a bunch of eggs, but he's going to pay you back for them. So, okay, but either way, you shouldn't sell to a goy, you shouldn't lend to a goy, you shouldn't loan to a goy. V'lo yitein lo matana, you shouldn't give him a gift, unless he's going to be able to get to his house before sundown. Right? Beis Shammai is concerned that people will see the goy walking with your stuff and think, if he's walking on Shabbos, people are going to think that you told the goy to do malacha, the malacha of Hotzah, for you on Shabbos. Beis Hillel say, No, Beis Hillel says, as long as he has a chance to get to the house that's next to the wall in his city, meaning theoretically he could drop off the item there and not walk the rest of the way. Let's say he's going from one town to the other town, so if he has enough time to get to the wall or the house by the wall of the city of his hometown, so then that's enough, because theoretically he could drop it there and pick it up afterwards, or etc., etc. And people won't confuse it and think that he's doing malacha for you. Rabbi Kiva says no. Kadesh yitzim pesach beiso. As long as the goy has enough time to get out of your house, so then it's totally fine. Because we're not going to assume that a goy walking in the street is necessarily doing malacha for a Jew, even if he's holding his item. Okay. Amar Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yehuda, hein hein divrei Beis Hillel. The Rabbi Akiva is actually arguing on the Tanakama's opinion of Beis Hillel. Meaning, the Tanakama said that Beis Hillel holds, the guy has to get to the house, the first house in the city. Rabbi Akiva says, no, Beis Hillel holds, the guy just has to have enough time to leave your house, and then he will be, it is mutter, and people are not going to think that it's, you know, it's not Marisayan. Right, lo bar Rabbi Kiva el lafarish divrei Beis Hillel. Right, Rabbi Kiva is just explaining what he thinks Beis Hillel shita is. So you have three shitas, but really two of them are within Beis Hillel, and only one of them obviously probably is correct. Okay, Tanu Rabbanan, weiter. Beis Shammai omrim lo yimkor adam chemtzo lanachri. Not shaykh to Shabbos, but similar in that you're not allowed to sell something to a goy. You're not allowed to sell chometz to a goy, right? In Yana de Yoma. Elam ken yudea bo sheyichle kodem ha-pesach. Unless you know that the goy will consume it or destroy it or finish it off before Pesach, that's divrei Beis Shammai. Beis Shammai's shita is that the second you own chometz, so you need to make sure that chametz is destroyed. The issue is you have to get rid of the item, the chayfetz. It doesn't matter if you sell it to a goy. Possession is irrelevant once you have owned chametz. So the item needs to be destroyed. So if you sell to a goy and he's not going to eat it before Pesach is over, before Pesach shows up, so that's a problem. Beis Hillel, Omrim, and Beis Hillel says what we're familiar with. Kol zman shemutter la'ochlo, mutter la'mochro. You're allowed to sell your chametz as long as it's mutter for you to eat it. And therefore, as soon as you get it out of your possession, that's what we're concerned about. We're concerned that the Jew should not own chametz. Not that the chametz itself, the item, should be destroyed, but that the Jew should not own chametz. Rabbi Yehuda, Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says, and he holds within Beis Shammai Shita, he gives an example of Beis Shammai Shita, Kuta Chabavli, this was a really disgusting dip. I mean, I guess, you know, people must have eaten it, so it must have been tasted okay, but it's a dip made out of milk that's sour milk, like sour cream, moldy bread crust, and salt. Blech. So that was some sort of dip, again, with the moldy bread crust, that obviously in liquid, that's chametz. V'chol mine kutach, and any other type of kutach, right, either Babylonian kutach or regular kutach, asur limkor lamad yom kodem ha-pesach, you're not allowed to sell it to a goy 30 days before Pesach, because You know, it's a dip, and people are going to, obviously, you keep a dip in your fridge, right? Nowadays, things perhaps turn over a little bit quicker, but when you buy, let's say, hummus, mapucha, you know, all the dips, you know, ketchup for sure, mustard, etc., all the condiments, so that has a shelf life that's very, you know, much longer than a couple of days. So if you give it to him less than 30 days before Pesach, we assume that it'll still exist. And again, Beis Shammai Shita is that you have to actually destroy the item. He has to consume the food. So that would be a problem. You have to make sure to get it to him before 30 days. Otherwise, it is usur. And more than 30 days, though, that is totally fine. Again, what is 30? It's not 30 days. Is not a random thing, and it's not shayach, by the way, to kutach. It's based on the concept of shloshim yom kodem hachag, sholim medorshim vehilchos hachag. That there's a halacha that 30 days before Pesach, you start learning the halachos of Pesach, and that's when this halacha comes into effect. That Rabbi Yehuda is just explaining that it's not like if you sell chametz in December, you have to make sure the goy will destroy it. No, once 30 days before the Pesach, before Pesach shows up, i.e. on Purim, right? That's 30 days before Pesach. So all this stuff of getting ready, the chametz, etc., starts to take effect. So this whole halacha, according to Rabbi Yehuda, within Beis Shammai's Shita, only applies 30 days before, but obviously if you sell him something in December, November, whatever it is, so you're not going to have to call him 6 months later and be like, oh, by the way, did you eat that food I sent you? Or eat that chametz that I gave you? Okay. Tanu Rabbanan, we learned in a braisa. Nosnim mizonos lefnei kelev b'chatzer. You can feed a dog in your courtyard. Notlo v'yotza, and if he goes out and into the Rishis HaRabim, in niskakin lo, you don't have to run after him. You don't have to make sure that, you know, you have to deal with the fact that, oh, your dog is doing chotzah. You don't have to worry about that. Yeah, okay, fine. Kayotzi, similarly, knows the mizonos lof now nachri bechotzer. You're also allowed to feed a guy in your courtyard. Not lo v'yotza, and if he goes out with it, in his kakelo, you don't have to run after him. Gemara says, Hasu Lamali, why do you need the second halacha? I knew hach, it's the same halacha. That's not saying that a goy is a dog, but what it's saying is that you're not responsible for either an animal or a goy, right? Goy is his own das, and that's what the Gemara is going to explain in a second. But why would you think that a goy is any different than an animal? It's not shaykh to you, right? Who cares if he does malacha, right? A goy is usher to keep Shabbos, right? So why would you care if he goes outside with your food, if he does hotzah, or goes with Mirushus Lirushus on Shabbos? So my detema, you might have thought, hi Rami Alev, hi Loma Rami Alev. You might have thought that the dog, so, you know, you're obligated to feed your dog. It's your animal. Right? So you might have thought that, you know, it's mutter for you to, you don't have to deal with the dog because you have to feed him. But the goy, you don't have to feed. It's not, I mean, the goy has his own chachma, right? The goy has his own intelligence. So you might have thought that you have to be worried about the goy, and therefore you don't like a Marisayan issue what's it called? Lifnei Iver L'Sitei Michshol. Meaning, if you might have thought that since the goy will take the food out, right, he is you don't have a chiyuv to feed him. So you might have thought that you have to make sure that he doesn't do hotzah on your dime, meaning he doesn't take your food and do hotzah with it. So the Gemara says that no, that this is, it's actually mutter for you to feed him, and the goy's das, I mentioned the goy's das at the beginning, meaning that's actually the teretz. Since the goy has its own das, so it's not incumbent upon you to make sure he doesn't do it. Okay, fine. Tanu Rabbanan, we learned in a Brisa Vayter. Lo yaskir adam kelev l'nachri. A person shouldn't rent his utensils to a goy bearer of Shabbos and erev Shabbos, but bedal behei mutter. But on Wednesday or Thursday, then it's totally fine. Kayotzibo, similarly, again, we don't want people to think that he's doing malacha for you on Shabbos. It's almost if you give it to him on Friday, so it's as if you're giving him the keli to use on Shabbos, but on Wednesday, Thursday, so that's fine. Kayotzi, but similarly, in Mishalkani Garos Biad Nachri Be'erev Shabbos, you don't send letters with a goy on Erev Shabbos because we assume that he's going to travel on Shabbos. But Vidal Dehev on Wednesday and Thursday, then Mutter, then it is Mutter. Amru Olav Al Rabbi Yosi Hakohen, These people they said about Rabbi Yosef Hakohen, Vamri La al Rabbi Yosef Hachosid, or maybe it was Rabbi Yosef Hachosid, Shalun Nimtza Ksav Yodo Biad Nachri Me Olam. He never ever sent a letter with a goy ever, period, because maybe the goy would take it on Shabbos, and then he would be doing malacha for him on Shabbos. Tana Rabbanan, we learned that, right? Say, Eim Mishalchi Negeres Biad Nachri Erev Shabbos, Ela Im Kein Kotzi Tzlo Damin. You can only send a letter with a goy on Erev Shabbos if you pay him up front. Meaning, you pay the goy for the complete for the job of taking the letter from one place to the next, and you don't stipulate with him, you know, when you're doing it, and you don't pay him hourly. So when the goy then takes, let's say he takes the letter for you on Shabbos, yeah, he's doing malacha, but he's not doing it for you; he's doing it for himself. Meaning, you pay the goy to get the letter from point A to point B. So you don't care when he does it. You could do it now, do it tomorrow, do it Sunday. It's not relevant. Because we assume that the guy is not going to is doing the malacha for his own volition. Beis Shammai omrim kadesh yagia lebeiso. Beis Shammai says, no. There needs to be enough time for the guy to get to his house. I.e., to the house of the person he's going to before Shabbos. Beisel omrim kadesh yagia lebeiso samach lachoma. No, Beisel says no. Just you have to get into the city where you're sending the letter. The Gemara says, wait a second. Follow cutouts. Didn't we just say the whole point was that you gave him, you paid a stipulate You paid him a single amount. You paid him. You said, listen, this is how much I'm going to pay you. I don't care when you do the malacha. Cutouts is like it's finite. It's like specific is the word I'm looking for. You paid him a specific amount, regardless of when. It's not an hourly wage. It's regardless of when he's going to do the malacha. So why would Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel argue about this? So Rav Sheshes said, "Hakikamer." This is what it means to stay. V'im lo katzatz. Really, yes. If you pay with him a specific fee, excuse me. If you gave him, I don't know, $10 to deliver the letter. So it's irrelevant when he does the malacha. Because you're not paying him hourly, you're not paying him to work on Shabbos. When he does the malacha, when he does hotzah on Shabbos, carrying it from rishos to rishos, from city to city, so that's his own business whenever he delivers a letter. Vim lo katzatz, but if you didn't give him a specific fee, right, you didn't stipulate, you know, when, how much you're going to pay him, so then Beis Shammai omrim ad shegiyah lebeiso, Beis Hillel omrim ad shegiyah lebeiso samach lachoma. Then, if you're talking about an hourly wage, you have to make sure the goy's not doing malacha for you on Shabbos. Beis Shammai says he has to be able to get to the house where he's going, and Beis Hillel says no, as long as he gets into the city, because the maaseh, he could theoretically put the letter, you know, in the first house, and then deliver it later on. Okay. V'amata reisha ein mishalachin, but didn't the reisha say, didn't the first part say, what did the prices say? You cannot, ein mishlachani geros biad nachri, elim kein katzatz l'damim. If there's no specific amount of money that you're paying him, if you're not paying him for just the job, I thought we said ein mishlachan. You're not allowed to send, period, bottom line, you know, without elaborating. Right, but why? What's this? Machlokas, Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel. What's going on? So Gemara says, Lokasha had the kviya beidor b'masa, had the lo kviya beidor b'masa. Dor actually is the word for in modern Hebrew for a post office, but actually it means in the Gemara it means the mayor. The question is like this: meaning people didn't send letters back in the day, right? People don't really send letters now either, but people definitely didn't send letters back in the day. When were letters sent? Usually between important people, stamp with a seal, the whole deal. You've seen it in the movies, etc., etc. So, basically, if the mayor's residence, if his house, Beidor, the house of the mayor, is fixed in the city, meaning the mayor always stays there, he always lives there, so we can assume that the goy will go to the house and the mayor will be there and he'll deliver the letter. But if the mayor does not live in a specific place in the city, so then it could be that the mayor will not be at home, and the goy will have to travel throughout the city to try and find him. That's going to be an issue. That's going to be a problem. And in that scenario, it is usher. But if it's kavua, if it's fixed, if the mayor lives there, so then they have a machlokes Beis Shammai Beis Hillel between you know, whether he has to get to the house or whether he has to get to just inside the city walls, because the mice of the letter is going to one specific place. Okay. Tana Rabbanim, we learned in a brisa. Ein mafligin b'sfina pachos megimim yelim kodim l'shabbos. We can't, you're not allowed to go on a ship or a trip, or let's say a cruise, less than 3 days before Shabbos. The problem is, Rashi doesn't say why. It could be that if you're going on a big boat, it'd be mutter, because the Rabbeinu Hananel over here says it's only on a small boat that goes in very kind of shallow water, because you're going to run into an issue of tchum. But the other Rishonim don't like that so much. And the other Rishonim, I forget who, but it says it's an issue really because the person, when he takes a long journey by boat, he gets kind of sick for 3 days, and then he kind of adjusts. So it's going to be an issue of covered Shabbos, that the person is going to be... if he's sick for the first 3 days, he's not going to have a nice Shabbos. So it's not really in terms of Hilcha Shabbos, it's more like Kavod Shabbos that you're going to be kind of gross. Tosfos over here says, Ein Mafligin B'Sfina, even Tocha Tchum, even if it's inside the Tchum, because you can end up, it's part of the Isser about swimming. Because it's part of the Gzera not to swim. Is also going on a boat. But okay, either way, the Gemara says you can't take a trip more than 3 days before Shabbos. The Medvar Mamurim, when is that? The Davar Harshus, just for leisure, if you're going on a cruise. Aval Dvar Mitzvah, but if you're going to do a Mitzvah, so then Shabbar Dami, that's fine. Uposek Imo Almanas Lishvos, and you have to make a stipulation who drives the boat? The captain, I guess. You have to make a stipulation with the captain that he has to stop the boat on Shabbos. But, Ve'eno Shoves, but he doesn't actually have to. I mean, all you have to do is say, listen, I'm coming on this boat, Goy. Right? I want you to make sure you stop on Shabbos. But you don't actually have to. The Goy doesn't actually have to. That's a Devei Rebbe. That's what Rebbe says. Okay. You don't need this. This is all little shenanigans. You don't need to make that stipulation. Motzor letzidon afilu berev Shabbos moter. And he adds that if you're going from Tzor to Tzidon, that was a very short trip, short flight, right, from New York to Philly or whatever it was. So that was motor even on Erev Shabbos, because it was a very short trip and it's an hour by boat. I don't know how far it was, but you'll get there, and there was no concern that you'll actually have to sail on Shabbos. Tanu Rabbanan, Vayter, Ein Tzadin Al Ayaros Shal Nachrim Pachos Megimol Yomim Kodim Shabbos. You're not allowed to go and lay siege to a city less than 3 days before Shabbos. Obviously, this is a scenario where it's not a pikuch nefesh situation. Obviously, if there's a pikuch nefesh, there's a melchama, whatever, so obviously then it's mutter. But talking, for example, in the times of Dovin HaMelech, they would go out and conquer things to increase the national GDP. So you can't lay siege to a city 3 days before Shabbos. But if you did start in Mafsik and you don't stop, because obviously that would lead to a bad military situation. Shammai used to always say, "I'd rid to afilu b'Shabbos." That's a pasuk that if you have to go lay siege to a city, right? Until "I'd rid to" literally means until it's conquered. So even on Shabbos, overrides Shabbos, because again, mistama that pikuch nefesh situation. Okay. Amar Gamliel bar Amar Shem Gamliel no hagin hayu. So we said in the Mishnah that Rabbi Gamliel used to give laundry to the launderer. It wouldn't even give white clothing to the launderer, to the dry cleaning man, 3 days before Shabbos, because apparently cleaning white clothing was much more rigorous than cleaning colored clothing. So, Tani Belinda Rabbi Samar Rabbi Tzadok Kachayim in Hagosha based Rama Gamliel. This was Rama Gamliel's minhag. Shayu Nosen Kli Lavan Lekoves Gimel Yamim Kodim LaShabbos. 3 days, he would give white clothing more than 3 days before Shabbos. Utsivonim Afilu Berem Shabbos. But colored clothing you could give to the dry cleaner or the laundromat, whatever, even on Erev Shabbos. Umi Divrayim Lamdu, and from that we learn Shalavanim Kashim Lekavson Yosem in Etzivoim. It's much harder to clean white clothes than it is colored clothes. Nowadays, Baruch Hashem, we're very spoiled. We just throw things in a washing machine. But back in the day, it was much harder to clean white clothing than colored. Abaye have a Yosef lay Yoiv lay ahu mona ditzviya lekatzra. So Abaye used to give colored clothing to a cleaner, a dry cleaner, or a launderer, whatever. So Amalei, kama b'yisi iluye, how much money do you want to clean it? So Amalei, kiduch yura. So he gave him, like, you know, kiduch yura, just like the white ones. So Amalei, meaning he wanted the same amount of money to clean the colored clothing for the white clothing. Meaning the white clothing, obviously, is much more rigorous process, probably cost more. So he wanted to overcharge him for cleaning his colored clothing. So Amalei, kvar kidmucha rabbonan. So he said to him, No. The Rabbanan already kind of came before you to tell us that, you know, that it's easier to clean the colored clothing than white, and it shouldn't be the same price. Rabbi, Haimad Yoiv Mana the Katsra B'Mishcha. Someone who gives money, Mana is an item, or really clothing, the Katsra, to someone who does the laundry. So, B'Mishcha Nishkomine. When he gives it to him, you should measure it, and when he takes it back, you should also measure it, because the itfe, because if the garment is longer, then afsidei de matche, then you will have lost because he stretched it out. And if it's too short, so afsidei the kavtze, so he damaged it because he shrunk the shirt. Hold on 1 second. Sorry. Okay, Viter. Sorry about that. Vishavin elu shetunin. So we said before in the Mishnah that both Bishal and Bishal will agree that you're allowed to put the beams on an olive press or a wine press after the oil, the grapes and the olives have already been crushed, even though the oil and the wine will seep out on Shabbos, because Lamaisa, they've already been crushed, and it's just what that does is just ensures that the rest of it kind of oozes out. So Gemara says, "My shna kulu de gazru be beis shamai, my shna kodos de beis abai v'guli agad dalo gazru." So, what's the difference between this and all the other gzeiras that we mentioned in the Mishnah? So the Gemara says, "Hanach di avidu b'shabbes mechayev chadus." No, in the first cases and all those other cases that we mentioned, if you would do that action on Shabbos, you'd be chayev chadus. You'd be us. It's asur midoraisa. So therefore, gozru b'hu beis shamai erev Shabbos imchashecha. Therefore, beis shamai made gzeira on erev Shabbos. You have to get it done before sundown. But koros beis abad v'yuli agat, but in a wine press or in an olive press, when you put these beams on top of it, the avid le b'shabbos lo mechayev chatas. If you did that on Shabbos, you wouldn't be chayev chatas. Again, and we explained because, you know, you'll see in a second. Lo gozru. So therefore, since you're not, it's not asur midaraisa, there was no gzeira from Beis Shammai. So Gemara says, "Man tana the kol midi da'asim emela shaper dam." Okay, again, because that stuff is happening on its own. The grapes have already been crushed, and the juice is oozing out already. And it happens memela; it happens by itself almost. So when you put the beam on top, it's almost like just putting like the lid on an oven or a pot or whatever it is. The malacha, the oozing out is going to happen on its own. So Gemara says, "Man tama de kol midi da'asim emela shaper dami." Who is the Tana who says that anything that happens by itself, here any liquid that comes out of the fruit on its own, right, without pressing any further, is mutter, is totally fine. So Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina, Rabbi Shmuel. It's Rabbi Shmuel the Tana, like we learned in the Mishnah. This Mishnah is in Adios. Hashum v'aboser v'amalilos. If you have garlic or boser is unripe grapes, and malilos is unripe grain, and if you have them, you know, in a press, and you're going to crush them, and you're going to get some juice out, so shariska mibod yom. Again, you crush them on Erev Shabbos while it's still daytime. Rabbi Shmuel omer yigmor mishatech shap. Rabbi Shmuel says you can let it finish after sundown, after Shabbos, because you can let the process kind of play out. Rabbi Kiva Omer, Rabbi Kiva says, no, lo yigmor, you're not allowed to. So Rabbi Elazar Amar, and Rabbi Elazar says, and it's actually Rabbi Elazar. Now, he's not quoting himself. Right? That's the Amora, which is Rabbi Elazar. Rashi writes, Rabbi Elazar ben Pedas says that it's actually the Shita of Rabbi Elazar, the Tana, in a different Mishnah. Ditanan, like we learned in the Mishnah, Chalo Dvash. We're talking about, literally that means, obviously, Chalas of honey, but it's not Chalas of honey, it's a honeycomb. So the honeycomb should risk on Erev Shabbos that you crush on Erev Shabbos and the honey is oozing out. V'yatsu me'atzman, Osir, that if it came out on its own after Shabbos started, according to the Tanna Kamma, it's Osir for that to happen. You're not allowed to use the honey until B'chadesh Yasu. And Rabbi Elazar matir. And Rabbi Elazar says it's matir. So Gemara says, Rabbi Yossi bar Chanina, my time alama Rabbi Elazar. So one second. Why did the first guy, Rabbi Yossi bar Chanina, not say it was Rabbi Elazar's shita? So Amar Lecha, he said to you, Hasam hud mei kara ochel uvesof ochel. Over there, okay, by the honey is originally food, and at the end it's food. Meaning, the honey is just in the honeycomb, right? But the honey itself does not change. But what happens when you squeeze olives and grapes? So originally, the juice inside of a grape, if you ate a grape, and you eat the juice itself, as well as the grape, obviously, when you eat a grape, so you wouldn't say you're eating and drinking at the same time. Nobody says that, right? It's obviously you're just eating. So therefore, hachame, back in the Gemara, hachame kara ochel v'hashta mashke. But now here, when you're pressing out the juice and the liquid, originally it is food, and then it is liquid. Therefore you can't compare the two cases. You can't compare the case of a honeycomb and squeezing grapes and olives because they're totally not comparable, and therefore you can't say it's Rabbi Elazar Shita. Rabbi Elazar Amar, and Rabbi Elazar, meaning Rabbi Elazar ben Pedas, the Amora, who says it's Rabbi Elazar, the Tana Shita, Amar Lecha, how would he respond to you? What would he say to that? So Hashemayin Lay, Rabbi Elazar, Dafilu Zeis Vanadizim, Vanavim Namishari. Right? We've learned that even Rabbi Elazar permits grapes and olives. Why didn't he quote that brisa? Well, I don't know. That's a good question. But we see that the Rabbi Elazar even allows, you know, the squeezing of grapes and olives to continue even after Shabbos has started. The Ki Asar Rav Hoshia Min Harda, Asar Va'Aisi Masnisa Biyode. When Rav Hoshia came from Naharda, so he brought a Mishnah in his hand. It says, Zaysim v'anavim sheriska me'erev Shabbos. If you crushed olives and grapes on Erev Shabbos, v'yatsu me'atzman, and the juice comes out afterwards by itself on Shabbos, sasurin, it's aser. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon matir, and Rabbi Elazar says mutter. So you see clearly that Rabbi Elazar extends his opinion to grapes and olives. Again, why didn't he quote that? I don't know. But he didn't. Rabbi Yossi bar Chanina, what about Rabbi Yossi bar Chanina, who asked this question? You see this difference between honey and grapes and olives. What about this brisa? Seems very clear, or this Mishnah? It seems very clear. So simply brisa lo shmi alei. He'd never heard of that brisa. Apparently, he wasn't there when Rabbi Hoshia from the Harda came and taught it. Okay, for Rabbi Elazar, my time of the Amak Rabbi Yossi bar Chanina. So why does Rabbi Elazar hold Rabbi Yossi bar Chanina that it's Rabbi Shmuel Shita? No, it was said about that Mishnah that with Rabbi Yishmael, Amar Rava Bar Chanina, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, b'mechusarin deicha. It's missing pounding. Pounding deicha? Yeah, pounding. Okay, so that's just a minute, just before, in terms of describing the process. So apparently, and I know nothing about grape crushing or olive crushing in the process to make oil and wine, but apparently there are three stages. There is first you have to chop it up, that's risuk. Then there's something called deka, which is pounding the grapes and olives, and then there's shchika, which is mashing. Okay, so they said the case over there is that when Rabbi Yishmael said that he thought it was mutter. So, b'mechusarin deicha d'kuli amalo pligi. Nobody agrees, nobody argues that if you have not yet pounded the grapes or olives, meaning you've only done the chopping, you've not yet gotten to the pounding or the mashing, so everybody agrees that it's actually aser, that it's aser. Ki pligi, the machlokas is only b'mechusarin shchika, when you have pounded the olives and grapes, but you have not yet done the third stage, which I guess is pressing it further, which is called shchika, which is mashing. Vaninami, and in our Mishnah, in the Mishnah that we're talking about, k'mechusarin deicha damu. They're also lacking the second stage of deicha. So therefore, it's not the same case. Rabbi Shmuel is talking about a case where you've already where you've already pounded the grapes and olives, but you have not yet mashed it. And the Mishnah that we're quoting over before, that we wanted to say was Rabbi Shmuel Shita, is in fact before you have done the pounding. You're missing step two and step three, instead of just step three, so it's not the exact same case, and therefore he didn't say that it's Rabbi Shmuel Shita. Okay, Hore Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina, Rabbi Shmuel, and Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina paskind, like Rabbi Shmuel, that it is mutter. Okay, I guess like Rabbi Elazar also, but that it is mutter. Okay. Shemen shal bedodin, umachatzolos shal bedodin. Bedodin are olive pressers, people who press olives, right? The olive pressers. I don't know what kind of job definition that is, but the people who press olives. So their oil and their mats. So are Rav Aser Shmuel Shari. Rav says that they are muktzah, that they are Aser. I assume Rashi, right? Rashi has a whole thing over here that basically it's because of. You know, that the mats used on top of the olive press, I guess, it's part of, basically, the only thing you could use them for, it's for this malacha of pressing. So Rav says it's usher to move them, it's muktzah, but Shmuel just says it's not muktzah. And lechora, it's, what do I have over here? Yeah, right. Right, meaning the mats themselves can only be used on the press, and the oil, I think, if I'm not mistaken, is the schar, is part of the oil that's kind of left or oozing out of the press. It goes to the pressers themselves. I mean, that's part of their wage, so it's almost like currency. Okay, but either way, if Machlokas Rav says it's Muktzah, Shmuel says it's not. Honey karchi de zuze. What about the mats that they use on a ship? I think, where is that Rashi? I think that they put, Zug shel machatzolos shenachasim behemes ha-pragmatia. Yeah, you basically, if you can imagine, on a cargo ship, the mats, or the, kind of like the nets that they throw over the cargo, kind of to hold it in place. So that's what we're talking about. Rav Aser Shmuel Shari, again, that Rav says they are muktzah, and Shmuel says it is not muktzah. Okay. Right, again, because they're, you know, you're using it to transport cargo for business, etc. I'm Rabbi Nachman. Rabbi Nachman says, "Eiz lechalva." And we're going to see exactly, you know, where they're getting their shitas from. "Eiz lechalva." If you have a goat for milking, "V'rachel legizta," and you have a sheep for shearing for its wool, "V'tarnagolos lebeit sasa," and you have a chicken that you want that you use to use its eggs, "V'tori deridia." And you have, that's a tore, tough and shin is interchangeable in Aramaic, so those are oxen that you use for plowing. Vitamri de iska, and dates that you do business with, I guess I assume they're going to sell them. So Rav Aser Shmuel Amar Mota. Rav says they're muktzah, and Shmuel says, no, they're not, they are not muktzah. The plug to Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. And the machlokas here is between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. The Gemara is going to say later, around Daf Mem or so, and certainly more famously in the beginning of Maseches Beitza, as to whether there's a broad application of muktzah or a very narrow application of muktzah. So the Gemara says that Rabbi Yehuda isle muktzah, Rabbi Yehuda holds of muktzah, and Rabbi Shimon lesle muktzah. Rabbi Shimon holds that there's very little muktzah, practical muktzah applications. So simply, Rav and Shmuel are arguing within Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon whether muktzah is, you know, far-reaching or perhaps very narrow. Ha'u talmid de Uri Becharta. There was a Talmud in a place called Uri Becharta. Talmid de Uri. My bad. A Talmid de Uri. Uri means he paskind. A Talmud that Paskin in Charta de Argiz, that's the city, that's the place. It was a Talmud in Charta de Argiz. He Paskin Rabbi Shimon, he held the Rabbi Shimon, and Shamti Rav Amnuna. Rav Amnuna put him into Chayram. So Gemara says, V'hak Rabbi Shimon Svir Alon. But we hold the Rabbi Shimon, we're going to say that Rabbi Shimon, the halacha is like Rabbi Shimon in all these places. So Gemara says, no, but Asrei de Rav Hava. No, that was Rav's area, right? Charta de Argiz was Rav's kind of locale, and Rav lo yboy le mevrachin. He should not have done this because Rav paskins like Rav Yehuda, right? Rav, we said before, Rav says it's awesome. Similarly, another story that's not relevant to this, but the Talmidim that kind of paskin, according to, you know, different Rebbeim, honey trei Talmidei, there were two Talmidim, chad matzel b'chad mana, v'chad matzel b'arba v'chamesh mana. That there's a machokas. Basically, there was a, Rashi writes, there's a big fire in a house. The Mishnah is going to say towards the end of Shabbos, or I guess toward closer to the end of Shabbos than now, or I forget where that Mishnah is, that the, we're concerned, we're not, really you should be able to take out everything from the house, but there's a takana made that if a person is able to take out everything, you may end up, you know, extinguishing the fire in order to take out everything. So the Chachamim, now the Mishnah says that you can only take 3 meals worth of food. Another Mishnah, though, later on says you can take even 100 meals worth, meaning of food. And so Rav Huna and Rav Rabba Bar Zavda, as we're going to see in a second, that they were, that the Talmidim here paskined according to them, that they, how do you explain the contradiction between those two Mishnayos? So Rav Huna says like this, that the first Mishnah, so that's a person who is taking many kind of like boxes of food at many times, meaning he's going in and out, in and out, in and out, in and out. So since he's going in and out, so you can only take 3 boxes, 3 meals worth. But if you're going to take one container, then you could take even up to 100 boxes. Rabba Bar Zav, 100, not boxes, 100 meals worth of food. If you can, if you're only making one trip, you can take even, you know, a ton of food, as much as you can carry. Rabba Bar Zavda says no. That both Mishnahs are talking about a scenario where the guy is going in and out, in and out, in and out. If he's going to your his own courtyard, he can take as much as he wants, right, 100 meals worth. But if he's going into another courtyard, then he can only take 3 meals worth. So in our Gemara over here, where he had a fire, and one Talmud took one container, and one of them took many containers, so they're simply interpreting the difference in those Mishnahs, right? They're interpreting those Mishnahs according to those two Tanaim, and therefore one of them took out only one container, although he took out a ton of food, and the other guy took even 4 or 5 trips, because Mustami, he was just going into his own courtyard. Okay. It's a Shemuel Gavaiter with the next Mishnah. That's something we've learned already, right? Intel and Basar and Batzal and Beitza. We mentioned that yesterday, but it's a Shemuel Gavaiter with this next Mishnah tomorrow.